Welcome to the monthly podcast, exclusively for Somerset Football Association referees.
Watch the referees now.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Lovett.
Hello and welcome to the very first Referees World podcast, exclusive to Somerset Football Association referees. My name's Darren Daly, but let me introduce you to my partner in crime for the monthly podcast. The world knows him as Richard Mellon.
Batman and Robin.
Isn't it?
It's Richard Mellon here. Hi, everybody.
So, my name's Darren Daly. A little bit about me. Who am I? Why am I here? I'm a level 5 referee. I started my refereeing career back in 1997 with the GFA. I'm now back home living in Taunton and affiliated with the Somerset FA. I'm a level 5 going for level 4 this season. Richard, tell us about yourself for those that know your name but don't know about you.
Richard Mellon, 25 years a referee, qualified in Bridgewater, refereed out of Bridgewater, successfully got to the national list through the County League, the Western League, and had a very enjoyable career. Came off because of age, which hurt at the time, and that's now all disappeared, which is even worse, but I'm still getting old. So here I am. I've taken up the mantle of CTO, or the County Training Officer, which shouldn't be mixed with the Referee Development Officer's position. Keith Buller occupies that. He's full-time. I'm a part-timer, but I try to give it as much energy as I possibly can.
So, as we said, this will be a monthly fixture for you to download and listen at your peril. You'll be able to get in touch with us as well through this email address, refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com. That's refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll be particularly wanting you to get in touch with things like your match incidents, general queries, any questions that Richard could answer, or indeed any suggestions for the show as we grow over the coming months.
Referees World News Update.
And here are some of the main talking points for this month, the headlines from Richard.
Yes, what about the comment made by the Premiership manager, Tony Pulis?
That was an interesting one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Tony Pulis suggests referee relegation. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. We've also got news about a certain charity fun run.
Yeah, well done, Western Supermare referees. They managed to raise a very good amount of money for charity.
The Christmas Challenge. Hopefully, it's not going to be like it was last year. A lot of us got rained off for quite a while. Frozen off, I think it's probably fair to say, isn't it, Rich? Because the weather being so bad.
Frozen off, rained off, snowed off.
It was.
Hacked off.
Yeah, so how can we deal with these situations? More on that in just a second. And moving house, who is? You'll find out about that. Plus, we've got a couple of stats to tell you about.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon.
First, the big talking point this month, Stoke City manager Tony Pulis suggesting that referees should be relegated. That's quite a bold statement to make.
Yes, it is. But if Tony Pulis, with all respect to the man, knew a little bit more about the referees world, that he would understand that demotion, relegation is in the system already for referees. And I could use some colleagues' names, but I won't embarrass them because that's not fair. But referee relegation does already happen. But I understand why he's looking to make some changes. And I think the suggestion has to be considered by the bodies that govern us.
Do you think that the reason he's piped up so boldly is because in a relatively short space of time there has been quite a few very high profile match incidents involving referees, hasn't there?
Yes, there has. Unfortunately, it's not for me to make judgment about run of the ball, rub of the green, all those cliches, but people keep running them around every so often, and people are saying what goes around comes around, everything comes in the end, but I don't want to go into that area because it's a very, very awkward area. But I understand why Tony Pulis has made the comment.
In a situation like this, what would be the process? How would it be dealt with?
We use an article that's clearly seen on the TV and not dealt with appropriately by the referee. And if there's a handball on the goal line that's been missed, the assessor at the match will take home a DVD. He will have already seen the incident if it was that obvious at the game, and will be making a note that he needs to look at the DVD when he gets home. He will make a report to the footballing authorities, and they will make a judgment, and the referee will receive a form of punishment by not receiving appointments.
And that is like having a proper kick in the pants, isn't it?
Oh, that's unbelievable for any referee. No referee likes to make mistakes. He'll go home, he'll be grumpy, he'll be moody, he'll he'll open the front door, the dog will want to lick his lick his feet, lick his face, and he will not be in the mood for any of that. The wife will want to speak to him, he'll be moody, grumpy, and it is life for the referee. It is football in life. We all love football, there's no doubt about that. But when he gets home, he cannot get that mistake out of his head until he gets out there and has another go.
So it must be so much harder for somebody who's at a higher level, and it's being talked about on the TV, on the radio, in podcasts, in newspapers and magazines.
Yeah. Premiership refereeing is refereeing in a goldfish bowl. There's nothing that is not seen. Everything is analysed totally, and the referees are scrutinised very, very meticulously by the governing body.
Let's move on now, more local. Weston's RA have had a charity fun run.
Yeah, well done, lads. I don't know who led the initiative, but I've got a photo here in front of me. Can everybody see it? Yeah, yeah. Eddie Hughes is here, James Jarrod, all sorts of faces, ugly faces. Craig Scriven, Tommy Major. Oh. Well done, lads. I see you raised £1,000 for charity.
That's brilliant.
And that is really well done to all of you. So whoever had the idea, well done. And I just see the beneficiary will be the Western Stroke Society. So well done, everybody.
And there's no truth in the rumour that the whole idea came around because certain people weren't up to match fitness.
Now, who would say that?
Right, now we're talking about Christmas challenges. Last year, let's be honest about it, it was a disaster for so many people, because there was a lot of people that were applying for promotion. They couldn't really get it because there were so many games called off. They didn't get their games in the amount that they need. It was a complete nightmare. It must have been logistically for you guys as well.
Yeah, it was quite tough. If I use those that are looking for promotion as an example, Dexter Ballum is our assessing coordinator for the county, along with Dave Brammer last year before Dave moved on to Greener Pastures. Dexter is now looking after the promotion candidates and appoints all the assessors. Now, continuous cancellations, postponements creates a backlog, creates problems, not just for Dexter but for the clubs as well. So, you know, how can we help ourselves? I'm not sure there's a great answer to it, but at least we can have a go and give you some advice.
We also mentioned in news headlines about somebody moving house. Who's moving house, Rich?
It's actually the National RA. They've moved in their house from Coventry to new location. The new location is Westwood Business Park in Coventry. It looks a very plush outfit that they've moved into, as opposed to previously it looked like a three bedroom house.
They're going to love you for saying
being
that.
Without being rude, of course. But Arthur Smith, our RA chief exec, looks after everybody up there where they do all the business for us.
And finally in the news, we've got some stats for us, some local stats, some interesting stats actually, which you got for us there, Rich.
Yeah, this is me on my little hobby horse here. I look at our county stats. We've got 657 registered referees, 27 are female. Girls,
that's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah,
that
thanks,
is
girls.
Really good.
We hope you're enjoying your football as referees. And whatever anybody says, if you're getting stick from male colleagues or male players, let me know.
Do you know what, as well? It wasn't until I was affiliated with the Somerset Association that I had anything to do with any female referees. And what I love about the fact that the female referees that I have associated with is how much they really enjoy it. I'll take Megan Farron, for example. Everybody knows Megan and how long she's been doing it as well.
Yeah, Megan's been doing it for a few years now, and I'll be careful here. She is a young lady.
Well, that's what I mean. She started very young.
About 5 or 6 years, yeah. I think Megan's been doing it now. So well done, Megan. But there are some other ladies out there doing it for us, and long may it continue and expand as well with numbers. Let me go on to a couple other things, just so we get a feel for things here. There's 11 class threes, or level threes, should I say. That's showing my age now.
Oh, Rich.
I know.
Wash your mouth out with soap.
Yeah. 11 level threes, 23 level fours. We've only got one level one, Steve Tanner, and we've only got two level twos, Kev Johnson and Rich Martin. I've got this quest where I want to help more referees get to the higher levels. I want to see more level threes, more level twos, and even if we can, get some more level ones, please. We've got 80 level nines. Level nines, that means you've not completed your six games, not sent back your forms to Keith Buller. Please do it. I'll give you any help you need. Just make contact, and I'll give you as much advice as I possibly can.
Contact us now. refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com.
This month's special guest, we're delighted to welcome on the phone Mr. Roger Vaughan.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well.
Good.
You know Richard very well, but if you could explain, those that are listening at the moment perhaps know your name, have heard about you, but they're not quite sure what your role is.
Well, basically, my role is I'm one of three national managers with the Football Association whose responsibility is to support the development of referees in the national game, which is basically at grassroots level. So my role is recruitment, retention and development. So it's all about helping counties to recruit more referees, to retain the ones they've got and to help them develop to whatever level they want to aspire to.
How long have you been involved in refereeing yourself?
I've been refereeing now for about 23 years, roughly. So I started, did a course in Western Supermare at the end of the 80s and refereed locally to Somerset County League and then onto the Western League. And then I was fortunate enough to referee for 4 years on the panel, which is basically the national conference, and to run the line on the Football League for 7 years as well, and until the end of last season.
So you've been around a bit then, in a manner of speaking.
But in a manner of speaking, I have. You're absolutely right, yeah.
And just one final question from me before I hand you over to Richard. Were you a player yourself? And what kind of player were you? And would you have sent yourself off?
Probably, yeah. I was, shall we say, a ball winner in the middle of the park, I think the technical expression is. So not a very creative midfield player, but like to tackle people and give it to someone else to do the passing bit. But yeah, I loved playing. I played both on Saturdays and Sundays at local level, Westland District, and a little bit at the bottom end of the county league before I realised that actually I'd probably make a better referee than I ever did a player.
OK, I'll hand you over to Rich now. We're going to talk more about the referee development nationally. Rich.
Hi, Rog. Okay.
Hi, mate. Doing?
Yeah, just before we go into the national referee development, I'd like to make a comment about your playing career and that you like to tackle. I'm glad that we played in different eras, because I'd like to have found out how well you did tackle.
Well, you know when we used to have the referees by the sides, Rich, I think
fatal.
Utterly proven.
It was absolutely fatal. Referees should never be allowed to play football once absolutely. They take up refereeing. Shin guards are not enough. I think you need to go out dressed there, almost looking like an American footballer. That type of thing.
And the hardest job in the world is the poor guy that has to try and referee it as well.
There we go. Anyhow.
So, on to the national development, Rich.
Yeah. Rog, you've been involved with the National Referee Development Plan, and I think, if I remember correctly, there was a four-year plan. How well is that going at the moment?
We're ahead of target. I mean, the target was by the end of 2012 to have 8,000 more referees on top of the 22,000 we had at that time. So around 30,000 by the end of 2012. At the moment, we're around the 25,000-26,000 mark. And we're sort of about nearly 10% ahead of where we should be. So touch wood at the moment, things keep going as they are, we'll probably be about 1,000 above where we need to be in 2012, which is obviously very positive. From my point of view, of course, I still think it's equally important that we keep the guys we've got, because we're the best one in the world. It's good to recruit lots of new referees. It's even better if we keep the existing ones and make them better refs.
So yeah, I agree, Rog.
Double edge to it.
I think if I make an analysis now at the moment, and you just tapped into it, there's a lot of young referees that we have, male and female. We'd like to sort of get out there and help these young referees. I'm not sure what the percentage is under 25, but I think it's as close to 35-40% could be.
Yeah, I think you're right, Rich. I mean, if you were to look at a breakdown of the ages, I think between 14 and 18 there's a very high percentage of referees in that bracket. And then of course what happens at that sort of, when they get to 18, lots of things happen. They go to university, they go to college, they get jobs. If they're male, they tend to find girls. If they're girls, they find blokes. And all sorts of other things come into the equation. Yeah. And sometimes they stop refereeing. So we have a sort of high number, and then it drops down as they get into the early 20s, and then picks up again a little bit further on. But you're right, we need to support those guys more and sort of make it known to them that refereeing is a possibility. It's like myself as a player, never going to set the world alight, and actually as a referee I've managed to get to a decent level. It's interesting, if you look at some of the top guys, you look at people like Graham Poll, whatever you thought of Graham, he started when he was 14. People like Martin Atkinson, they started when they were about 14, 15. Howard Webb, all the guys that have got to the very top level started when they were young, you know, and actually made refereeing their career and their target. So the younger you start, the better. And as Rich has already alluded to, you know, we are trying to provide more support for the younger referees now, and the National Referee Development Programme that Rich is involved with in Somerset is one of the examples of how we can do that.
Rog, what sort of areas within the national plan would you think could be used nationally, but equally locally for Somerset?
I think, you know, we had a session with some of the guys who are mentors in Somerset the other week, and that is a key area for me. We certainly need more mentors, and we need to make more use of the existing mentors we've got, because refereeing is like anything else really. You need that support at the initial stage to build your confidence up. Yeah. Players get it, you know, the players get it in that they're part of a team and their teammates support them and the coaches support them. Refereeing sometimes when you start out and you go out on your own can be a bit lonely, so it's that element of support from a mentor or a colleague who's also a referee. I think it's really, really important to get people to be more confident and hopefully to give refereeing a go.
I think something that we use in Somerset and we've developed it a little bit further this year is the referees academies. Referees academies are quite established across the country. There are some leading counties that are doing it really well, linked with professional clubs. Somerset, yeah, I think, would be in the middle of the pack as opposed to the development at the moment, with other counties still not developed. What's the key to referee academies?
I think the key to referee academies is having people who are really keen, enthusiastic and committed to making them work. I mean, my experience of academies up and down the country is that when you've got an individual or a group of people that really are there to drive it forward, it works. I mean, there's some good examples in the southwest. The one in Plymouth was particularly successful, and most of that really was down to the guy who led it within Plymouth, who was chairman of the referees committee at the time, a guy called Mike Richards, who was absolutely dedicated to making it work. And I mean, examples of guys like Lee Swaby who've come through that, who are now on the Football League, because it was there. And again, it's opportunity to do games in a nice environment, you know, linked with the games that Plymouth Argyle younger teams were involved in, and with coaches there to help these guys and help them develop. So they definitely work. And I think the sort of map that you've got in Somerset at the moment with the four areas and the people that are going to look after each year, I think is excellent. It really, really is a good way forward. And again, it gives lots of people an opportunity wherever they live in the county to be involved in that and to help themselves develop. So I think it's great that you're taking that forward, Rich, and I'm sure it will work.
It's also worth mentioning as well that the age limit has now been dropped, because I took advantage of that starting at the end of last month, so I'm now officially part of the academy, as it were, which I wasn't before because I was a bit too old.
You're absolutely right there, Dan. I mean, at the end of the day, one of the things we've stressed with this national programme is that age is not a barrier, because we recognise that there are guys out there that are in their 30s, the late 30s, sometimes even in their 40s, that are really still keen to give refereeing a go and get as far as they can. You know, and if they want to do that, we're happy to support them, you know. And there's lots of examples of people getting right to the professional level who haven't started refereeing till late.
Thanks for the plug, Roger. I don't mind taking that.
no problem, mate.
Brilliant. Well, listen, Roger, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, and thanks very much for taking time out to be with us on this, the very first Referees World podcast.
And before you go, Darren, I'd just like to say another little plug. What a great idea this podcast is. Hopefully people will listen to it, take it on board, and good luck for the future.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon.
This is Darren Daly and Richard Mellon with the first ever Referees World podcast. Our special guest has been Roger Vaughan. He seemed to enjoy himself. He's got a few skeletons hanging up in his cupboard as well, hasn't he, Roger?
He looks a bit of a... Oh, sorry. No.
Every month as well, we're going to be giving you some dates for your diary. Maybe if you've got some dates as well that you can pass on and share with us, then please get in touch with us. Drop us an email, refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com. Rich, what dates have we got then?
I've got a couple of dates here. Perhaps it's been bit early notice, but RA Conference next year is now at the Barcello Hinckley Hotel. That's just off the M69, if you know the area, and it's July the 15th and 16th. That's July the 15th and 16th, RA Conference.
And what's going to be going on this year at the conference?
Well, they'll no doubt have their workshops as usual. It's being led by David Ellery, president of the RA. He does a fantastic job, and he calls in all sorts of experience from the Premiership and from Football League, referee tutors. There's all sorts of workshops going on, and I can say honestly that I've been to the last two of three. I've still been educated by attending.
And how much is it going to cost to go to this?
It doesn't cost anything other than your time.
So that's the RA's conference. What else you got there, Rich?
We've provisionally set the date for next year's FOMOA evening. If you remember, this year's FOMOA evening was held at the Bridgewater Sports and Social Club on the 13th of September, where we had Mike Riley and Mike Malarkey
attend.
That
was a great evening as well, wasn't
great
it?
Great evening. Fascinating information coming from Mike Riley as the PGMO manager.
Cole Malarkey can rattle on a bit, can't he?
Yeah, Malarks, yeah. He's a great man, Mike Malarkey. I've worked with him. We've been friends for quite a few years now, and it's fantastic to see a lad from the Southwest referee in the World Cup. He was assistant referee on the World Cup final and also the Champions League. The other dates to think about for referees academies: first Monday of the month is Western Supermare, that's at Priory School. Then the second Monday of the month, it's Rivlington School at Radstock with Steve Forrester. And then the third Monday of the month is Andy Perlieski at Yeovil College.
Don't forget, if there's any more dates that you'd like us to add in next month's podcast, refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com. That's how you can get in touch with us.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon.
Okay, we're very close to the end of our very first Referees World podcast, which hopefully you've gained something out of. I know I have. Rich, you?
Yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed this, and I look forward to many more.
Absolutely. And what we'd like to do is something that we do in our Bridgewater RA's meeting every month is match incidents. For this month, both Richard and I thought that we would share match incidents of our own. Yeah. And we'll start with Rich first.
My match incident, I didn't have to think very much about this, to be honest. Alan Prowse, if you listen to this, you will remember what this match incident was without me even describing it. However, we were at Torrington this day and I was refereeing. Alan Prowse was on the line, and like all assistant referees, he obviously wants to get out there in the middle and have a go because he thinks he's good enough. Okay, so Prowse, he gets his chance. I'm refereeing, I'm on the edge of the box, and the ball comes over from across and it gets wellied out by the centre half, and he lets it go flat out. I'm about 5 yards from him and it hits me right in the breadbasket. Straight in the breadbasket. I was down and out, unconscious. I thought I was anyhow, but I couldn't blow the whistle. I could only moan and squeal, and you know, like a little piglet I was. And as in my pre-match, if anything happens to me, my experienced colleagues will stop the game. They carry a spare whistle, surely. No, not on this occasion. Alan Prowse, senior assistant referee, stood there and was laughing.
And I expect, along with pretty much everyone that's listening to this at the moment, picturing you rolling around squealing.
Yeah. It hurt. Yeah. It really hurt getting hit in the breadbasket. And boys, you know what I mean when you get hit in the breadbasket. Yeah. I pose the question, what should Alan Prowse have done?
Yeah.
As opposed to what he did do. Nothing.
But you probably had a good laugh about it on the way home.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Excellent.
And it still hurts even when I think about it now.
Yeah. My match incident, this is the one that I springs to mind straight away. When I was on the GFA, I was doing a game in Yate. It was towards the end of the season. Now, the way the game was set, the away team had to win to go up. The home team had to win to stay up. Anyway, I'd not been refereeing that long. It was at the end of my first season, I think it was. And I blew the whistle and I showed a red card following quite a nasty challenge to one of the away team players. And at that point, it was the first time in my refereeing career I was surrounded. I'd never experienced that before. And I just didn't know what to do or anything. So I pulled the red card down, put it back in my pocket and said, no, you can stay on, right? Okay, 10 minutes later, that guy goes on and scores the winning goal.
Darren.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, 5 minutes after that, he was in another challenge and I thought, I've got you now. You're definitely going this time. So I eventually got what I needed. But the big cock up of the whole game was the fact that I panicked.
Was the result 1-0?
It was 2-0. The home team went down. down because of it, and the away team went up.
How many games do you think you'd done at that particular stage?
At that stage, so it was coming towards the end of the season. I'd probably done about 12 games, I think it was.
Okay, so it's a daunting prospect sending off a player.
Yeah.
It's tough. There's a gut feeling that hurts when you've got to send off a player for the first time or even show a yellow card for the first time. It's not a natural thing to be doing. People can joke about it and we can make fun now, but it's a daunting thing when you've got to do something about it.
Well, we would like to hear your match incidents, and if they can compare with ours, then brilliant.
Contact us now. Referees World Podcast at gmail.com.